Okay, I will say that our presenter today is Reverend Carter Derry, a retired Evangelical Lutheran Church of America pastor and chaplain. He'll be speaking on the statement, "We the people are living in a dangerous time." Our opening words now will be provided by Marcia Johnson.
Be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. James 1.
I'd like to introduce our speaker today. He will make his presentation, then as usual we'll have some time to ask him questions or maybe to make a comment or two. Our speaker is the Reverend Carter Derry, who's a retired Evangelical Lutheran Church of America pastor and chaplain. He's worked in hospitals and nursing homes in Minnesota and also in the Hazleton Drug and Rehab Center, which is north of St. Paul. And before that, I'm assuming it's before that, he was a lab technician, a lab manager, an operations manager, a marketing manager in the lab supply industry. And he will be speaking to us on the topic of We the People. So, Reverend Derry.
Thank you. You haven't heard the speech yet, so, you know, hold your applause. We the people, and I'm going to say this several times, and I want to read to you this morning the preamble to our Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. I am here this morning to warn the good folks here, but I think you already know because I had a little conversation with this young lady in front this morning, and she had some very direct comments and, shall we say, a new description of our governor. Which I really appreciated. You'll notice that in your bulletin, it quotes Sinclair Lewis. I keep saying Upton Sinclair. Sinclair Lewis. When fascism comes to America, it will be wrapped in the flag and carrying the cross. Now, as ordained minister in the Church of Christ, these are words that are a little bit daunting, because obviously I felt that, I still do, I feel that call to ministry. That has never changed. But I'm also very aware that we live in a democratic society, and I believe that there are those among us in the millions who profess to be Christians, I quote, who don't have the foggiest notion of what it means to live in a democratic society. We the people, a perfect union. Think about it. We are now 15, I just read this morning, so I had to correct my script. We are now 15, that's 1.5 trillion dollars in debt. That's not the deficit, that's the debt. We're not going to pay that. Our children won't pay that. Our grandchildren won't pay that. And why? That's the question. And the answer is very simple. Missiles, ships, planes, bombs, troops, standing army. I want to remind everybody here, because I know you're all well read, but one of the things that the framers of the Constitution were most concerned about, pardon me, was a standing army. Now, I'm going to read to you something I wrote to the Wisconsin State Journal a while ago. I have to tell you, I was flabbergasted when they printed it. I don't think of them as exactly the liberal bastion, if you will, in its military-industrial complex. Dear editor, I find it interesting and galling at the same time that in all the budget discussion and mudslinging, one never hears about substantial cuts in the defense budget. The Cold War is over, exclamation point. Based on my reading, my educated guess is that there are about 20 nuclear-powered missile boats, that is, submarines with 24 Trident missiles with independently targeted 5 million tons of TNT, that kind of power, on each of those missiles. What adversary is out there that justifies this kind of threat of total annihilation? At the same time, conservative know-nothings are shouting for cuts in Medicare, Medicaid, food programs, education, the environment, and any other federal program designed to help people. Do you see the frightening hypocrisy here? They're only too happy to pay more than $188 billion per year to kill people and as little as they can get away with to help people. Does this sound like the party of Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, and Dwight Eisenhower? Does anyone remember Eisenhower's farewell address? He warned the nation of the dangers of the military-industrial complex. The military-industrial complex has stolen our tax dollars, increased our debt beyond possible payment, and made the American dream a nightmare for millions of our citizens, including me. I'm not here to whine about my circumstances. In some ways, I made my own bed, and I have to lie in it. And that's as in lay down, not lying, okay? I want to read something that Thomas Jefferson said under the title of We the People, to establish justice, the second part of our preamble, establish justice. I believe, this is Thomas Jefferson, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Oof is right. Can we hear an oofta? The corrupting influence of Wall Street folks is ruining this nation. Jackson, that is President Jackson, wanted a federal bank. He wanted to do away with private banking, remember. And so it cost him his presidency, or at least the second term. Poverty in my lifetime and yours, and many of you are older than me, but I never expected to walk down the streets of Madison, Wisconsin, my boyhood home that I was so proud of, and find people sleeping in doorways. And I got to tell you something, I'm very angry about that. Because that could be me. And that's the truth. That could have been me and my wife living in a box under a bridge. And now, you know, it's not about me, folks, okay? It's about those wonderful little people that were down here in front of me. That's why we have to save this country from these fascists. We the people. One of my favorite quotes is something that Winston Churchill did when he was asked by President Harry Truman, one of the last real populists, at least in my opinion, okay? When President Truman invited him to speak to the Harvard graduating class. Now, feature this. This is Harvard graduating class. So here are these faculty, world-renowned people, orators of the first order, philosophers all, okay, in this graduating class, all anticipating the speech of arguably the finest orator of his time, Winston Churchill. No longer in office, by the way. So they're looking up there, and they're looking at Churchill, and they're anticipating what he's going to say. They're moving to the edge of their seats. He stands up. He walks to the lectern, just like I have done. And he stands, and he surveys the crowd for a very, very long time. And finally, he says, never give up. Never. And he sat down. Now that's called stagecraft. And I'm guilty of the same thing, as you can already tell. However, we're talking about ensuring the domestic tranquility this morning, preamble of the Constitution. Let me ask you a question. Does pepper spraying children at a university, does that constitute ensuring the domestic tranquility in your mind? It certainly doesn't mine. Doesn't in mine. I want to be very clear about that. Police riots in 1968 at the Democratic Convention, when the cops were turned loose to beat on everybody that was in the way. Do you know that when the cops turned around and they saw Mike Royko standing outside of the big hotel, anyway, Conrad Hilton, there we are, thank you. Outside the Conrad Hilton, they turned and they said, "There's Royko, get him." True story. They chased him down the streets with their batons, and I'm going to tell you right now, had they caught Mike Royko, they would have killed him that night. I know, I lived in that city as a boy, and I know what they're capable of. I'm not talking about telling you that all the police were awful and corrupt, but there were enough in there that were Daley fans, and Mayor Daley hated Royko's guts and liver too. So there you are. And finally, under the aegis of ensure domestic tranquility, do you see the hypocrisy in what happened on USC campus when the chancellor told these cops that in my mind were nothing but a bunch of thugs dressed up in gear, pepper spraying these children? Do you see those pictures? They're kneeling on their hands and knees. They're not doing anything wrong. They didn't call them names. He just walked up and down the line, pepper spraying. And I'm going to tell you something. I have a very compromised heart, okay? Heart attack and plugged up. That would have killed me. Yeah, because I wouldn't have been able to get enough air and I'd gone just like that. Now, maybe some people say, good. I don't know. Whatever. Provide for the common defense. Provide for the common defense. Trident missile submarines? Come on, folks. Those are what's called a first strike weapon. They're hidden in the seas all around the north of Europe. They can launch their missiles from at the Arctic Circle. Those missiles will fly 3,500 miles. Most of them carry multiple independent recovery vehicles, or MIRVs. That is the missile, the actual bomb, if you will, the warhead, can be independently targeted on these various sites. 24 times 5. Do the math. One missile boat, one, can take everything in Russia and destroy it. It's nothing more than glowing, rolling, and rubble, and everybody's dead. There's 20 of them out there. Provide for the common defense? I don't know if you're aware of it, but by the way, the only company left in the business of reassembling nuclear warheads, and that has to be done on a regular basis, because the trigger for a fusion bomb is a fission warhead. They have to achieve that kind of heat to cause the hydrogen explosion, and that decays. And so they have to be disassembled and reassembled on a regular basis. General Electric Corporation, one place down in Florida. All gated in, nobody gets in, nobody gets out. Well paid, folks. Mellow and profitable, you know? Don't you love it? Do you remember who the President of the United States was in 1981? Ronnie Reagan. Guess who he worked for a long time? GE Theater. You know how much tax General Electric paid throughout his entire presidency and all of that of George Bush the first? Nada. Nothing. Hundreds of billions of dollars they banked. But they laid off a lot of people, didn't they? Remember that? A guy named Jack Welch got the name Neutron Jack because wherever he went to visit a plant, all the people disappeared and there was only a building left. He fired. By the thousands. Congress has given, been given by this Constitution, the authority to discipline the military, also to appoint general officers. When's the last time you heard of any general officer in the United States military, regardless of the service, regardless of the rank, regardless of the reputation, when's the last time you heard of any of them being disciplined? Do you remember a guy named Oliver North? Sat in front of the committee and was rude and arrogant and insufferably vain and called a World War II hero who had been maimed to the point where he couldn't use his arms anymore, the senator from Honolulu, or from Hawaii rather, and called him a coward? What would Oliver North know about courage? I'm sorry. What would he know? And I'm digressing here a moment, but finally we have promote the general welfare. Tommy Thompson, when I learned that that guy was, and I was out of state, I'd been gone from Wisconsin for 43 years, just came back here in time to see my lovely wife of 46 years die of metastatic breast cancer. Don't you know that was a good time? I loved her with all my heart. And I had to watch her die by millimeters. Promote the general welfare, Tommy Thompson. The end of welfare as we know it. Do you remember that? The end of welfare as we know it. Tommy Baby Thompson. Pardon my language. I'm going to use a word, and I'm sorry if you're offended by it, but what the hell would he know about welfare? A privileged person, and he's going to speak to us about it? I've been on welfare. And you're going to be surprised to know that that was when I was going to the seminary. Because I sold my home and ate it. 401k and ate it. Pension and ate it. And that's all that was left because I was still raising three teenagers and I had a disabled wife. I'm not trying to elicit your sympathy. I'm trying to tell you the story of a person and a family that fell through the cracks. And our friend Tommy Thompson and this moron that we have in the State House right now, I'm going to tell you right now, they don't have a scintilla of an idea of what that is. Nothing. Privilege. Privileged people act that way. Look it up. Back to work, he said. Everybody back to work. No more daycare. No more welfare. Now they're stuck with getting jobs at McDonald's. They have no health insurance. They have no benefits. They're working for something just above minimum wage. They need child care. But they're not going to get it because they can't afford it. So now those children are turned out on the streets. That kind of poverty, folks, creates crime. Juvenile crime shot through the roof after this idiot got what he wanted. The bottom line is, folks, we have now the best Congress money can buy. Ha ha ha. Best Congress money can buy. Ha ha ha. Okay. Didn't work. And finally, well not finally, but near finally, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Remember what I was talking about earlier? These children? Now, it's not a case that I don't understand that I am important to me and I'm important to my 14 grandchildren and my one great-grandchild and my three surviving children. We lost a son in 04 in an auto accident, just 30 years old. Left two beautiful kids. But these are what's important, not me. My days are done, you know? I'm not home clipping coupons, by the way. I'm home trying to figure out how I'm going to pay for my next meal. So in this sentence, and serve the blessings of liberty, secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. A debt of $15 trillion, that's hardly securing the liberty of our posterity. It hardly makes it. Cut Social Security and Medicare. That's what they're talking about, the super committee. What they are is they're super wealthy and they don't give a hoot about us. That's what they are. My wife didn't qualify for Social Security, and I have a question for all of you right now. This lovely lady, and she truly was, this lovely lady raised four kids. I was traveling nationally. She had multiple sclerosis. She handled those four kids, and she handled a fifth kid. Me. Very immature, self-centered jerk. Okay? Not anymore, thank God. But she handled all of that. She didn't hold a job where she built up credits for Social Security. So she got nothing except one half of mine. Now I ask you, what is, Jacqueline Kennedy once said, the most important job you will ever do in your life is to raise children well. That is the most important job you'll ever do. And that is exactly what she did. And she did have help from me. Now they're talking about cutting benefits. As we know, there's an assault on unions now and union bargaining. These actions, folks, and this is why I'm calling forth this morning. I'm calling forth an effort on part of all of us. These actions are not simply a cause and effect. They are an assault on democracy. They are an assault on democracy. We the people. Frightened people equals disorganization. Everybody's looking out for themselves, right? I have to worry about paying my bills. I'm not sure I can worry about the people next door. So yes, it is a plot. Koch brothers, oil money is flowing in like oil being poured out of one of these great ships at sea into the Republican coffers to make sure that this guy stays governor of the state of Wisconsin, because trust me, this guy is the Trojan horse. Believe me, that's exactly what he is. He is the Trojan horse of fascists, period. And he's within our walls now. We've got to get this guy out of office, period. But I have to tell you, that man is, believe me, a genuine threat to liberty. Make no mistake about that. So we have to organize, and that's why Occupy Wall Street is doing what they're doing. And that's why there's an organization called United Wisconsin, which I'm part of. But we must stay the course. And we must never, never, never give up. Thomas Jefferson. Again. I hope we shall crush in its birth. This is 200 years ago. I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our money corporations, which dare to challenge our government to a trial by strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. I'm going to read that once again. Thomas Jefferson, 200 years ago, I hope we shall crush in its birth the aristocracy of our moneyed corporations, which dare to challenge our government to a trial by strength and bid defiance to the laws of our country. We the people. Thank you.